Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm Travis.
Oh, hello, everybody. This is Brandon Cruz.
Welcome. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show where we talk about things and musings and nonsense.
That's right. A much more loose-fitting type of stream and show. One that has no aim or direction, and it's difficult to describe.
Ain't that the truth, Brandon? Ain't that the truth?
How are things today in Travis world?
Things are good. Things are good because we're podcasting. Yeah. We're podcasting for our audio listeners. We're streaming live for our YouTube and Twitch fans who can follow us on those platforms as well. Just search Apathetic Enthusiasm. You'll find the channel until we can get some prioritized URLs figured out.
Yeah.
And you can follow us on social media at Apathusiast. I'm at Jugglemino. He's at Barnyard Cruise. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow, or the Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. Email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. And then you can find all of our stuff at apatheticenthusiasm.com. That's the website.
You'll get it.
And get other podcasts, other things. That's most of our stuff.
You'll get it. You'll get one of these days.
That's the basic things. But how am I doing? I don't know. I just took a power nap. got freshened up for the pod. I'm ready to go. How was your Monday?
That's good. My Monday went well. I did not take a power nap. I feel like I should have. I felt very grumpy today at work. Yeah, but it was one of those things where like I was sleepy, I was grumpy, but I was still productive.
Were you happy, dopey, doc,
and sneezy
perhaps?
That's I was all of them at one time, but I was still very productive, which is the lesser known of the dwarves.
That's the eighth dwarf that you never saw because he was always in the mine making things happen.
He's always like, quit that whistling.
He was cooking the books.
Quit that whistling. I'm trying to work here. He's like on Ritalin because he's just super focused.
Good old productive. He always put work in front of the family. It was unfortunate, but
that's right. That's right. And he was like, I got to send these emails out. I can't wake her up.
Snow White, like she never even met that dwarf. Poor guy.
No,
I had a semi-productive day. I put out a few fires.
You're supposed to let me ask how your day was.
Oh, you asked earlier and I kind of dodged it and then did all our social media. So
technically you're right. Hey, how was your day, Travis? Tell me more about it.
It was fine. It was semi-productive, and I don't know. In my job, I deal with a lot of people and managing people and dealing with interpersonal type things. So that's always fun. But yeah, I don't know. It was an okay day.
Have you ever thought of maybe doing like an offshoot kind of Rick and Morty podcast where we talk to people, just like fans about Rick and Morty, and we call it Interpersonal RSS?
No, I've never thought of that.
You've never thought of that?
Nope, that's not something I've considered. But
Interpersonal RSS, the unofficial...
Interpersonal RSS, the unofficial therapy podcast. I've been thinking about all kinds of things, thinking about streaming, thinking about Yacht Rock.
Okay.
I just saw your Oats shirt, and it made me think of Yacht Rock. So I think I'm going to commit to Yacht Rock Sundays from now on.
Yacht Rock Sundays. Tell me more.
And I'm just tell you more about Yacht Rock.
No. Yacht Rock Sundays. Every day is a Yacht Rock day for me. So what makes Sundays a special day for it?
I don't know that every day is a Yacht Rock day for me. Like I want it to be special. not every day can I jam out to the sweet tunes of Genesis and Hall & Oates I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I guess I could.
Hall & Oates. So you would consider Genesis a Yacht Rock band?
Not necessarily. I know it's on my Yacht Rock playlist on Spotify. So there's like a song. I can go over some of these songs with you.
Okay, well, so here's what I'm going to do for the listener. If you have a favorite Yacht Rock song, make sure you hit us up on Twitter at @AppEnthusiast. Or if you are following us in the stream, as I know our friend Daniel is, give us your favorite Yacht Rock song. But what I'm doing, I opened up the yachtornyacht.com. And Travis...
Yacht or not? Is this a thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
We've talked to Ryan Elder, right?
Ryan Elder, right?
His friends created the whole Yacht Rock genre. They're the ones who like kind of coined it.
Well, yeah, and the whole Channel 101 like series that they did with like the Yacht Rock, episodes on there.
Yeah, yeah, they came up.
We talked with him about that,
and they created this site, Yacht or Nyacht. which I linked. It's www.yachtornyacht.com.
Okay, so you're calling Genesis into question. Are you talking about not like every song or can I give you the specific song?
You can give me a specific song. Yeah, yeah.
So That's All.
That's by Genesis. All. That's All. By Genesis. So it registers as a 24.25 on the Yachtsky scale. Which isn't high. So it goes
not high.
0 from 100, 100 being the top, and 0 being the bottom.
So let's see if we can get a much higher score. Let's try Easy Lover, Phil Collins.
Is that what a song called is Easy Lover?
Easy Lover.
No.
Philip Bailey and Phil Collins.
Philip Bailey. Nope. It's not here. It's not here on this list.
You Make My Dreams.
Ooh, You Make My Hall & Oates. You Make My Dreams. Let me just look up Hall & Oates in general. It doesn't have it on there. Hall & Oates, usually it's like right in the middle of the Yachtsky scale. Their highest is Kiss on My List at a 62.
Ooh, I bet that's on this playlist.
shout out to Damien Dar on YouTube. Says quite inspirational and ooh-wee. Can't wait till November. We can't either. We can try, but we're not going. So I wanted
to customize our alerts on streaming, and we'll actually start talking about streaming here any second now. But I wanted to customize the alerts for when like people subscribe or follow us on Twitch, so that it would do the ooh wee sound effect. But I did not do that.
No, it's okay. There's time. There's time yet. This is the last thing we'll talk about Yacht Rock. Can you take a guess what you think the top band, the highest rated yacht song is? The band. You don't have to say the song, just like a band.
Jeez.
Don't you look at your Spotify and take a guess.
I'm obviously looking at my Spotify.
I mean, it's hands down. It's easy. Anything with Michael McDonald in it is certified. Certified Yacht Rock. And what band was he?
Some Doobie Brothers on here.
Damn right. What a Fool Believes, number one.
So I'm starting Yacht Rock Sundays because I like to listen to a variety of musical genres, but I'm going to commit Sundays to Yacht Rock. So
that's good.
So let us know what you guys think and if you hate Yacht Rock. But I,
Steely Dan, Creighton concert. Just saying.
Just saying. You're such an old soul, Brandon. You're probably the youngest guy at most of those concerts, and I love it.
They're like, "Hey, get out of here, kid! Trying to drive your dad to the concert."
Somebody in chat is dropping a phone number for the Hall and Oates hotline you need some oats. So I guess we'll have to call that up later on.
I have it. I have it. I call it up. I've got the Bluetooth.
Should we do it live? I'm gonna go turn on my fan because it's freaking hot in my office. But you dial that number up. Let's check out this Hall & Oates hotline.
Oh my gosh, you're gonna have to give me half a sec. I gotta set up the speaker to make sure it doesn't. Make sure it captures.
It got loud there for a bit when we called in on your stream over the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. All right, here we go. Make sure my Bluetooth is on. Go. Your turn on the fan. I'm going to get this.
Oh, yeah. My biggest fan.
All right. Let's see. 1719. I think that's a Colorado area code. 266-2837. Let's see. Nope. Come on, Bluetooth.
Come on, Bluetooth.
All right. You're going to have to give me another second while I set this up. Travis, just talk for us.
Just talk. I'm just going to talk. Well, thanks to everybody that's joining us on stream as well. For those of you that are listening on the audio version of this podcast, you're not missing a whole lot on stream. Just our faces and occasionally Brandon fumbling with his phone. This is a unique little twist to our podcasting lately.
Call the notes. Doing stream. Your emergency Hall & Oates helpline. To hear one-on-one, please press 1. To hear Rich Girl, please press 2. To hear Manita, please press 3. To hear Privatize, please press 4.
Ooh, gonna go with number 3. Yeah! Oh, hell yeah! Damien Dar on YouTube wants musical interludes? Here we go, some Hall & Oates.
We should do radio talk-ups. And now, coming to you live from the Hall & Oates hotline with their chat-topping hit.
I don't think that counts as copyright infringement because it's criticism, right? It's critique.
Yeah, we're doing a review, of Hall & Oates and the hotline. That is amazing. Did you know that existed, Brandon?
A long time ago, I forgot about it. So thanks. Thanks, Disqueeze.
Thanks to Squeeze 321 for the Hall & Oates hotline. We'll have to program that into our phones. If you want that number, again, it's 719-266-2837. Totally royalty free, probably. Totally. So we're streaming and we've been doing more and more streaming. We're getting smarter about how we stream a little bit. Do you want to talk a little bit about the stream that you did over the weekend, Brandon?
Yeah, absolutely. So that last weekend on the 11th of August, I'll start a little bit further actually. So on the 10th, our friends at Geek A, longtime friends, collaborators, sometimes they do a yearly event called Pete-a-thon, which is pain in the ass-a-thon, and it's meant to raise money in the fight against colorectal cancer. And they do this every year. They try to play pain in the ass games for 24 hours and raise as much money as they can. So they play like crappy games like Bubsy or hard games like Cuphead or Contra Hardcore. Just these games that no,
just like really difficult games.
Yeah. And so we've taken part in it. I take part in it every year. Usually the games I play aren't actually that much of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's usually like whatever game you're into at the time.
Yeah, it's true. I did like Lion King one year. Played Golden
like
Axe
Sega
one
Genesis
time.
Lion King yeah. or something yep. like yep. yeah throwback.
I don't even remember why. Did I not do it last year? It doesn't matter. But this year, this is the important thing. Is this year I played Slay the Spire in support. They did their main game from 10 to 10. And they played the whole thing 24 hours. And then this year they did something a little bit different. The folks who are long distance, who weren't in the local area in like New Jersey and what have you, we played bonus rounds to keep trying to get money. So I played from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. yesterday, Slay the Spire, and streaming and talking and doing all that fun stuff. And I got to say, this year was the first, this is like the first time I've streamed a game where I felt fairly confident that I did well in talking and streaming and playing at the same time.
I will second that because like I watched almost your entire stream and you were very active the whole time. There was very little like downtime or periods where I felt like you weren't engaging with the audience. And I was honestly like impressed. I was like, wow, Brandon crushed it on the stream. I don't even know why I show up every Monday night.
Because if you weren't here, then when I was trying to get Maneater on my phone, it would just be me looking at my phone. Like
that makes sense. That makes sense. And I did call in on your stream for like a couple minutes. Just for the giggles.
We tested out that capability right that, and it was really loud, so I needed to mess with my levels, but the stream looked really well, and I guess around early last week the Geek8 guys, Dean and Chris, Dean hooked me up with all the Geek8 assets to set up OBS. And so
these frames and junk that we have all around us on
like some HTML that disappears and displays different things at different times. Mm-hmm. It was pretty nifty, and I still need to figure out how they do that. Saturday I got just caught up with trying to do different scenes and make different things appear, and so then I went to Streamlabs and figured out how to actually do like alerts. So if you follow us on Twitch, if you subscribe to us or host our stream on Twitch, you will get a custom Rick and Morty GIF and an announcement letting you know.
Is no pressure to anyone currently watching on Twitch, but feel free to do any of those things to try it out right now.
Yes. So yeah. if you're on YouTube right
now,
channel.
Why are you not already doing that?
If you're on YouTube right now, go over to Twitch.
Go to Twitch and follow us on Twitch.
Damien Dar says, for some reason, I always imagine you guys were animated. It's weird to see some faces. Accurate.
That's amazing. Yeah, I kind of wish we were. There was a period where I wanted to take some fancy Adobe software and animate some of the highlights from our Interdimensional RSS podcast. But every time I went to do that, I realized we don't really have highlights from that podcast. And
yeah,
and so I didn't. That and work and things, but R10NX said that the stream was cool, so was watching along with some Slay the Spire, and you were like asking for fan choices about things that you were choosing and directions that you were taking and things like that. Another great way to build engagement stream.
I mentioned it on the stream briefly, but I know there's ways that you can go onto the stream and just vote. And get interaction that way. I was just kind of asking the question and then waiting for the Twitch delay to catch up to for you to actually respond.
For somebody to type, go right. Yeah.
But that the benefit of Slay the Spire, for those who haven't played the game or don't know what I'm talking about, it's a turn-based kind of rogue-like deck building game. And so it gives plenty of time for me to do a move, pick my move, pick the card that I want to attack and turn, and still think of something witty or kind of cringy to say. Right.
More often the latter, but you know, yeah, it's either way.
It's part of the charm. It's part of the charm. But yeah, I mean, it was fun. The Geek Aid guys, for Colorectal Cancer Alliance, they broke their $3,500 goal. So couldn't be happier awesome. About that.
Awesome and stuff.
It makes me want to stream more turn-based type of games.
I was thinking about it as I was watching yours, and I'm like, yeah, we gotta do more streams. And you know, we could break it up. We could take shifts. Like if you're playing a game on a certain night, you could run stuff. I could try to stream stuff on my own. I prefer streams where we're both in it together. But and of course, with D&D, a new campaign coming up, another opportunity to stream some content. We have officially created the poll within our D&D group to see if everybody's cool with doing some streaming, and the verdict is they are.
They said yes.
As soon as we actually start playing again, look for those streams to start popping up on our Twitch and YouTube as well.
Yeah.
So excited about that, building some little windows and things for us to play.
Getting our faces out there, our non-animated faces.
Our non-animated faces. And
If you are an animator, be sure to animate us and make
there
it.
There you go. Look at DSDSqueeze321 has followed us on Twitch.
Hey,
look at him go. And we got the cool little banner thing with the Morty being followed by squirrels.
Damn it.
Thank you so much for the follow. And I don't know if, yeah, that little chime sound should come up. Well, I know it comes up in the stream, but I don't know that it will come up on the audio version of this podcast. So
no,
I think that's probably a good thing.
It will not. It would usually go bling, 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 or something like that.
Yeah, you could just do that every time we hear one of those.
Okay. Well, so that is the streaming. If you have any questions about how to do live streaming well, we can find
YouTube
somebody.
Because we're not experts.
somebody else.
Yeah, but we are using Streamlabs for a bunch of this stuff, and it was super easy to get started with it. I moved all of our stuff that we had set up like instantaneously. So yeah, you should totally put the link to your Twitch in the chat.
Oh,
he whispered like a Morty.
That's funny. Why would anybody ever do that? Twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. That's for
anyone. Oh geez, there it is.
Oh my gosh. Oh my. I didn't do that. That wasn't me.
No,
he didn't.
He didn't follow us again. I clicked the wrong button and made it pop up again. So you get double credit. Thank you so much, D Squeeze. Yeah, but streaming's cool. Streaming's fun. I want to do more of it. If I could follow you more times just to make the sound, I would. I'll make the sound for you over and over again. but yeah, what sort of things would you stream? Should you be streaming it? I know something I'm thinking about streaming.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and shoot. Tell me.
So I think we've like offhand mentioned this a little bit in one of the podcasts, but this game Dota Underlords.
Oh,
this is my new like casual addiction that could quickly become like way. Like, there's a level of people playing this competitively that I will never achieve. Like, you could go somewhere else on Twitch right now and watch people play this game, and they are much better than I am.
Yeah.
But it's a game mechanic that I haven't really played before, and everybody calls it, like, auto chess. But are you familiar with any other games, or have you played any other games like that?
No, Well, here's the thing. I feel like everything, every kind of game mode that was established in StarCraft and Warcraft, the Warcraft 3 and Frozen Throne and stuff,
yeah,
have made their rounds and now are becoming popular. So for instance, League of Legends, Dota. I mean, Dota originated with Warcraft, and
right.
that type of game where they just
wasn't that like the Battlegrounds or whatever in WoW or something.
No, we're not talking WoW.
Oh,
we're talking about
just straight up Warcraft.
Yeah, we're just talking exactly right. Those kind of modes where you just send minions at other players and you try to take out their base and their turrets and stuff like that. Those are modes that originated in Warcraft. And so this auto chess thing, very, very obviously they've enhanced it. They've added different capabilities inside the new software. But I've played games in StarCraft where you level up towers, and they look like characters, and the characters are just fighting other characters. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know why they call it auto chess. There's no chess. There's nothing chess about it.
Well, there's a legit board, right?
Yeah.
And it's an 8x8 board, like a chess board. Right?
Well,
right?
Why don't they call it auto checkers? It's the same board, you know.
Auto but no jumping. I guess there might be jumping. You have what are they called? Rogues or whatever that can jump to the back line. But yeah, so basically, this game, it's turn based. I think there's like 10 players in a match, and each round you earn gold, which you can buy more little minions, and then minions have like different categories, which you can tie them together, and then they make each other stronger, and you place them on your half of this quote unquote chessboard, and then. When the round starts, those minions go and automatically fight whatever your opponent has set up on their side of the board. And I know like nothing about Dota itself, so I don't know if the characters are like all based from that world or how they work. But
I don't think that matters now.
Yeah. But I'm learning a little bit more about how the different characters sort of work and how you can combine them. And the benefit is like I got it. It's free to play. That's, you know, number one. Huge. Love that. Developed by Steam. And I got or Valve. And hey, thank you, you crazy diamond, for the follow. I'm just gonna completely break my train of thought every time that I hear that sound now. That's gonna be super fun for audio listeners too.
We'll be derpy derp dupe. I'm on Twitch now. You crazy diamond. Shine on.
Shine on like a what was I talking about? Oh yeah, chess. Valve created it. I got it on Steam originally, and then I'm like, oh, they have an iOS app for this, and so now I can play it on my phone or I can play it on my iPad, whatever, and my account's all linked up, and so I can just play it wherever I'm at. But yeah, it's fun. It's challenging. I like started playing the tutorial and I'm like, this is easy. This game's easy. And then I started playing against some bots and I'm like, yeah, it's not quite as easy, but I got this. And then I played my first match against people and I was like, oh, I see. I'm not good at this yet. So I'm working on it. It's fun. I'm having a lot of fun with it. So maybe if you want to watch someone play that game really badly, you can catch that on a future stream.
I will say if I spent more time with it, I played like a tutorial. And the thing with tutorial is between rounds, the rounds are timed, so you don't have that much time to really make a decision. You're just kind of like, oh, let me buy this character first. Oh.
The time factor to it, it does take a little bit of time, and you kind of have to learn the game a little bit more to kind of get in that rhythm of being like, okay, let me, and I do it all the time where like, I'm trying to pick which character to buy for the next round or whatever. Mm-hmm. And because I don't know them all super well, I'm like still trying to figure it out. And by then the next round has already started and like I have one less character on the board than I could have and stuff, and it's learning. I would like
there's
the
curve.
Thing is we can create like a party and we could play together, so like within the same game,
like against each other.
Yeah like
I don't want to play against you. I don't want to, you know, I beat you at every other game. Like I don't need to make it a challenge, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's true. You do.
No,
But we could get though. We could get a group together. Maybe we could get a group of listeners and other friends together. And because our actual friends don't listen to this stuff. But
that's true.
We're maybe we could get some folks together and play like a game of with people we know, and then talk about it or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Let us know if you've ever played the game or if you're interested in it.
That's the kind of game I can't stream. Because in the time that you were talking to me on the phone, I was so distracted from playing Slay the Spire that I was unproductive. So with that timing, I guess as the characters are fighting, there's time to talk, but I'm paying attention to whether or not I'm successful or not. And if I need to change out some builds. So, I'm thinking more something much more deliberately paced, like Civilization.
we could definitely play Civ. We could. It would basically be a podcast with a game going on in the background, though. we could.
Or
we could play Settlers of Catan against each other.
Yeah.
Online. We could definitely make that happen.
Do XCOM. Like, I could stream XCOM.
I don't think I've ever played XCOM.
Oh, you're missing out. It's a great game.
So,
it's a great game.
Any other games you've been playing or things you've been doing?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I did play. Did I talk about this? I bought and beat Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order.
I don't think you've talked about it on the show at all.
Oh, okay. Well, I did buy that. I played it with my son. Who's 7.
For Nintendo Switch?
For the Nintendo Switch, yeah. For those who are familiar with the Ultimate Alliance series of games, it's basically like a comic book lover's fantasy beat-em-up, smash-em-up with all the characters you can think of. It is fun. There's more depth to it than I think some of the more recent sequels to it. You level up your characters, upgrade their powers and what have you. The only concern I have with this game, and I feel like I've talked about this on this podcast before, is that, you know, we love the Infinity Stones, but damn it, I'm okay with moving on.
I think you did talk about this in our last episode.
See?
Once you brought up the Infinity Stones, I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. We did talk about this. Son of a bitch. So that was our apathetic flashback.
Recap from last week. And I think I used that topic to briefly mention The Boys, which at the time of our last recording, I had watched two episodes of. And since then, I've finished the first season. So
great. And I have three to go. Yep, three episodes to go.
You have three left to go.
I do, yeah.
Without
two episodes,
without talking about the finale, just in general, like what are your thoughts about The Boys up to episode 6?
It's pretty dark.
It's very pretty dark. it's very dark.
It's pretty dark. And hello, Sire Dark. Welcome to the stream.
Sire Dark. Welcome to the stream.
Yeah, our boy. Hey, boy.
If you go follow us on Twitch, you can make a sound. Yay.
it's great. I do like it a lot. I want to finish it up. I'll finish it by the end of the week. But overall, I really, really, really dig it. All my friends and coworkers, they've all seen all the episodes, and they're like, did you finish it yet? I'm like, no, I haven't finished it yet. I told you yesterday that I'm only on episode 2. They're like, so you haven't finished it yet? I'm like, yeah. I don't want, and then I explode.
It's good. I think there's some really interesting spins on superheroes. Like, in a way, it humanizes superheroes, but in the worst way possible, because like the MCU or even DC to an extent, like it just assumes that anyone that has these superpowers is either going to be like an honorable and morally good person, or like they're just straight up evil to the core. But there's like it's black and white, unless you're talking about like Deadpool, who like he's, but even he is more like comedic in it, whereas like in The Boys, like very quickly, it shows that the whole superhero like front is more of an act than anything else, and it almost makes it seem like people just aren't capable of just being genuinely good, which I don't know. It's
even like the soups are bad, but there's just a lot of crappy normal people too.
That's true.
And the dynamic of the people in power to the soups is still interesting to me, and it's something that shapes over the course of the season. Now, obviously, I'm not done with the season yet, I'm assuming it eventually comes to kind of some kind of head.
That idea of a corporate superhero, though, like, and it all being like run through a bureaucratic enterprise with marketing and all that stuff. It's just such a modern like spin on stuff, and so it is really interesting. The thing that I was told every time the show was recommended to me is definitely don't watch it while kids are around. I tell them I don't watch most things with my kids around, but definitely not a family show. If you think you want to watch the superhero show with the family, this is not the one to watch. And they make that very clear with the title card that has almost every kind of mature warning possible as soon as you turn the episode on. But
you talk about mature warnings. I did notice that the mature warnings kind of dwindle as you get towards the end of the season. Like the first episode, it starts with like 50 warning tags.
Episode
and six by three.
By like episode four or five, it's got like two or three.
Yeah.
But this is something that I have noticed with series in general, and it's something that like I have this like sort of theory lingering around in the back of my mind about certain shows like this. And I don't know if it's intentional or not, but like you take the first series of Game of Thrones, right? And it's like got a ton of sex in it, a ton of violence, you know, and you have it in your hand.
I got it in my hand.
And like that, like was something that the show is known for, is a lot of nudity, a lot of sex, a lot of that stuff. And then you fast forward a couple of seasons, it's still there, but it's more of like a, no, it's still Game of Thrones. throw a couple topless chicks in this scene, like we're still there, but like it's so story driven by that point that like people are like, I don't care about that, I want to know what's going on in Westeros, and I want to know who so-and-so's dad is and who killed so-and-so. And so as like the show progressed and like people are like, all right, I don't need that stuff, I want to know what's going on with these characters. And like to a lesser extent with The Boys, like there are definitely episodes I think that you haven't seen yet where they bring back certain elements, but I don't know. I feel like I've noticed that in a few shows where they start off like really kind of, I don't want to say edgy or something, but they push the limit on some of those things to kind of be like shock value, like get you hooked. And then they're like, all right, now let's actually just do some quality storytelling.
You got to push it to the limit, you know, get right out the bat. That could backfire sometimes. That's what happened to that 80s show. That's why it just never got off the ground.
That's what happened with that 80s show.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
It is. Did you ever watch that 80s show?
No.
Did you watch the pilot of that 80s show?
No, I didn't watch that 80s show.
So bad. So bad. And I dare anybody that's listening or watching live to go watch, you know, stop watching this, stop listening to this right now and go watch that 80s show, the pilot. It's god awful. Good awful.
It a Gaddafi. Fox show?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so after, you know, that 70s show was ending, so like, oh, you know what? Let's capitalize this. We're going to a new decade, everybody.
Let's was it the same characters that just been around for 10 seasons?
No, they swapped characters. Like, I think there's, I mean, like,
that
a
makes
joke.
Sense. I'm just saying the 70s after 10 seasons would be the 80s. So
yeah, you would think. Yeah, there's a guy with like the piano tie. They're like, ha, 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 look, it's the 80s. All right,
it's the all right. 80s. What's that other show that's
Small
like all
Wonder,
about the
remember
80s?
That?
The Goldbergs or something.
Oh, I don't watch TV.
I don't know. I've never seen it. I've seen the ads for it. All right. So that was The Boys. Go check it out. It's Prime Video. That's where you can catch that. So if you're not a Prime subscriber, sorry.
You're missing out.
Good luck with that shipping.
You know, if you can't find it on Amazon, I don't know if we can help you find it, but I know somebody who might be able to help you find it with a map, the map, the map, the map, the map. The map, the map. That's right. That's right, everybody. Dora the Explorer. She's back. She's back.
Dora is back. Officially, we're calling it right now in apathetic enthusiasm, ladies and gentlemen. 2019 is the year of Dora the Explorer. She's back. She's taking the theaters by storm, headed to the lost city of gold. Let me tell you, this blockbuster film is a powerhouse from the very beginning.
This is something I've wanted to talk about since it was announced. I've been just so thrilled.
And so hyped on this Dora train. You just could not wait.
And you're all listening and you're saying, okay, good gag, everybody. Good gag. Let's move on to talk about something that's interesting, like live streaming or The Boys. No, we're talking about Dora the fucking Explorer. And Travis, you went and saw it this
weekend. I saw it in theaters. I paid money, American dollars, U.S. currency. I saw it in theaters. My kid's friend had a birthday party, and the birthday party was to go see Dora the Explorer. We drove some of the party to the theater, and then I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's air conditioned in there. Let's go see it. And so backstory, right? I have three kids who all were like babies and toddlers in Dora's prime. Like, so, yeah, I watched a lot of Dora the Explorer as my kids were growing up, or at least it was on. So I am already very familiar with the premise of Dora the Explorer. But of course, this movie is live action where Dora has grown up. She is a teenager who her parents have sent her back to the city, Los Angeles, from the jungle in like South America or something. I don't remember which country they actually used, but and then she is like kidnapped from the city with some friends, and she has to go back and save her parents from this, who are searching for the city of gold. All right, I will say a few things about this movie.
Okay,
like the chat is already like kind of outraged that we took the turn from Boys to Dora the Explorer.
We've lost like 30 viewers.
People have already dropped out. Yo Gabba Gabba or nothing. I'm with you, Sire Dark. That is a great show, but I gotta tell you, like, there are some really redeeming qualities in this movie. The writing is actually pretty good, and I had like the lowest of expectations going in. I mean, it is a Nickelodeon branded movie, intended to be for families, so I'm not expecting anything too over the top. But everybody enjoyed it. All of the kids really enjoyed it. Which, like, it was like a little bit of an action movie, like at a kid level of action. The comedy was pretty good. Michael Pena, who I love in the Ant-Man movies, played Dora's dad in this movie, and he was terrific. So he was outstanding. I loved every scene he was in. So yeah, I don't know. There's a scene at the beginning of the movie where Dora is still like a little girl, they're eating dinner together, and she like takes a bite and she's like, this is delicioso, and then looks right in the camera and she's like, can you say delicioso? And it cuts to her parents, and they're both like, who is she talking to? And they're like looking behind them and stuff.
And then Michael Pena is just like, Delicioso, and like yells it behind him. And I don't know. It was, there's some very, very funny parts in it. And yeah, if you don't have kids, maybe not. Maybe don't. Yeah. But if you are a dad, a mom, your parents who had to sit through hours of Dora the Explorer on repeat, there are going to be moments in this movie that kind of make you laugh and make you remember a time when you had to watch it.
A more innocent time.
Yeah.
Somebody mentioned yesterday in my stream that now that Dora's live action and now that they're going to make a Legends of the Hidden Temple movie, right? Or show, whatever they're going to do, you know, with a narrative. Does this mean the Nickelodeon live action film universe? Is that what this means?
That would be pretty amazing. I could see that happening. I don't know like how many, like I'm trying to think of the other intellectual properties that they could combine it. Like you could throw like Nick the Arcade. Bubble, you could throw like the Bubble Guppies in there. Maybe I think that's Nickelodeon. Like you could get, I don't know. Is there a Guts one where it's like an action movie?
Yeah. Guts. Oh, the Mega Crag, the Aggro Crag.
Yeah.
Dude, they totally could do that, right? Like, you know, actually all those shows have to do with some kind of adventure. It makes sense.
A live action Doug movie. That would be amazing. Quail Man. Do it as a superhero movie. That'd be epic. These are great ideas.
What Nicktoons don't need to be live action?
Real Monsters.
No, that'd be good. I would dig an Real Monsters live action.
Yeah. If you did it right, if you did it with the right like style, yeah, that could be good. I don't know what Cat Dog.
Cat Dog.
I would probably watch a Rocko's Modern Life.
Which is on Netflix. The movie's on Netflix. You know,
a live action,
but just Rocko's back.
But obviously, all of these would have to wait until we get that full length theatrical release of the Angry Beavers, which is clearly the number one.
That's the one Nickelodeon show that everyone's been clamoring for years and years and years.
That's right. It's all over the message boards. My MySpace is blowing up about it. And
I know just the man who can do it. That's right. My man, my father-in-law, the creator of Angry Beavers, Mitch Schauer. That's right. Don't ask me for autographs too much, too soon.
Too soon. Yeah. I don't know. Let's start the Nickelodeon animated universe or whatever, or live action.
We got some good suggestions. Do not touch Ren and Stimpy. Yes, Ren and Stimpy is creepy enough as it is.
Yep.
I love Ren and Stimpy. Don't touch it.
No, yeah, it's
John K. What a piece of crap, actually. Action League Now, that like kind of like the action figure style thing.
I think Robot Chicken's kind of like got that cornered right now. So
yeah, a little bit. I didn't watch Prometheus and Bob. Past my time. Sardark says the CG would be cringier than the Sonic movie.
Oh yeah, for Ren and Stimpy movie. Yeah, no. And those close-ups. Oh yeah.
when Ren's not brushing his teeth, and so like his teeth are like rotting, and it's like the nerve endings. that was one of the levels in the Ren and Stimpy video game for the Super NES. Was like
What's
you going.
Mouth?
Yeah, you're in Ren's mouth, and you have to avoid the nerve endings. Mm. It's disgusting.
So good. One last thing about Dora the Explorer. There's a hallucination scene in the movie when they're walking through some like spore-emitting plants.
Mm.
Unexpected. Great moment. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. You're going to have to see it for yourself. check it out. Dora the Explorer. Certified fresh. I don't know if it's certified fresh or not. I am going to look it up right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
What would you, before you look it up, what would you rate it?
Normally we do a scale of 1 to 10 on this show. I would give it like at least a 7.
Oh, holy shit.
Which I think is what I gave Deadpool when it came out. And again, again, that is with zero expectations for it going in. And so it exceeded all of them because I really expected nothing out of this movie.
That's intense to me that you would give it a 7. But, you know,
I laughed out loud in the movie, like in the theater several times at this movie. Like, and I couldn't do the like, yeah, I'm a cool dad that's not going to be into this door. Like,
no, not going to do
that. They got me. They got me several times.
Not gonna do it. Not gonna watch this stupid. Sire Dark says Good Burger 2. Make a Good Burger 2. I've told the story about my Good Burger experience on this show before, haven't I?
I don't know if you've talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah. So my best from high school, Matt Sizemore, when we first met, it was at summer school in between 9th and 10th grade. And that's where he and I met. And Talk Soup was on with old John Henson. And the Good Burger movie, the first one, was going to come out. And the Talk Soup was running this contest where, like, show us that you're Talk Soup's number one fan and buy a video. And so Matt and I love Talk Soup. And so how do we show that we're the biggest fan? And so we're in my bedroom at my house, instead of his house, my bedroom in his house. Why would I do that? And I had a bass guitar, and it was made of like solid wood, and it was like an axe looking bass guitar. And got the video, and we're like, this is, we're Talk Soup's biggest fans. Watch this. And I took the bass and I went like, whoa, bah! And hit myself in the head as hard as I could. And they aired it on video. It's out there somewhere.
I feel like I've seen, like, was it a VHS of this? Like, I feel like I've seen this clip before, like you've shared it with me.
It's out there. I can't find it. But what they did was, like, here's some, these didn't make the cut, but we still wanted to show them anyways. And so this, it showed me hitting my head with a bass, and Matt's in the background. He goes, oh, ho, ho, ho. And they repeated it two times. So it was like, boo, oh, ho, ho, boo, oh, ho, ho, boo, oh, ho, ho. That's my claim to fame next to Angry Beavers.
With that classic size mode laugh in the background. All right. It's question time. Play along if you're listening live on the stream. No cheating. I want to know everybody's predictions. What percentage do you think Dora the Explorer or Dora the Lost City of Gold has on Rotten Tomatoes right now? Any thoughts? Brandon, I want to know, what do you think out of 100, what do you think Dora is getting from the box office right now on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh man, this is a tough one. On Rotten Tomatoes scale, this is to your benefit because I haven't had my finger on the pulse of the Dora hype
of the rottenish tomatoes.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with 65.
65. All right,
66.
Brandon is locked in with a 65. Sire Dark in chat dropping a 70-ish.
D-Squeeze 3-2-1 with a 58%.
Ooh, all right. So I'm gonna share, these are all very good guesses. I want to let you know that the box office sensation that everyone was so hyped about for the summer, The Lion King, is rocking a solid 52% right now.
Oh,
but Dora and the Lost City of Gold is coming in certified fresh at 80%.
Hot damn. Hot damn.
I am shocked. Shook it. Scary Story to Tell in the Dark is only 81%.
Nice, which yeah. I want to see that this weekend.
So 80% for Dora. The critics agree. Dora is the movie to see this weekend.
We're in. Yeah.
which is a great way to end our show. I mean, we have a couple of random notes that we can talk about. Steam Link, if you're a Steam Link user, I think the Steam Link apps are out. I don't remember seeing anything about this, but if you have an Apple device, which you know, some of you are too cool for Apple and you're rocking. Oh, some of us are streaming, watching our own streams on our Apple devices. But yeah, you can get a Steam Link app now in the iOS App Store, which will allow you to stream your PC's Steam account to your phone or iPad. And you can play your games and stuff on there. Most of these, it works better if you have a Steam controller that you can connect via Bluetooth. But the app has like a built-in on-screen controller as well, so it's not even totally necessary to do that. But this kind of popped up out of nowhere, and I was shocked by it. And now I've put Steam on my Apple TV and all of my other apps and things, and it's kind of cool. And if you've ever used Steam Link, you're not confined to just using Steam on it. You can exit out of the big picture mode and then just access your PC from the app. So
exit out of the big picture.
The world is your oyster.
The micro, not the macro, as they say.
That's right. Bluetooth controller connected to a 10-inch Android tablet. Been rocking that the past month. Works great. You're a step ahead of me for sure, Sire.
I know about 10-inch tablets. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
No, you don't. You're right. All right. Well, yeah, get your Steam Link on. That sounds cool. I have a Steam Link.
Do it, Brandon. But I don't have. Do it. Play Dota Underlords on your tablet with Steam Link. You could just get the regular app. You could just get the regular app.
Yeah, I have a MacBook now, so I don't. I can't use Steam Link stuff with a MacBook. You know that.
D Squeeze said they went to see The Kitchen this weekend. It was great. Reminded me of Cold Pursuit. If either of you watched that one, did you watch any of those, Brandon?
I didn't. I didn't. Admittedly, I don't get out to see as many movies as I would like. If the AMC pass was, if the closest AMC was closer, then I would see more. Yeah. But you know, I'm too busy streaming to fight colorectal cancer. You know.
Yeah. It's. Aren't we all? Aren't we all, Brandon? I saw a tweet this last week about MoviePass, and it made me think back to a time when that was a thing, and how I wish it still was, but how that business model was terribly, terribly failed.
Were you reading about how like the owner was telling his admins to change people's passwords so they couldn't go see the movies?
That was in the tweet that I saw. I did not read an article. I only saw a tweet about it.
Oh no, that must be the same tweet I looked. Yeah. Maybe I saw it because you liked it. I don't know.
That's what we get for having so many shared Twitter accounts too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's it for us tonight. I want to say thank you to you, Travis, for talking to me, spending time with me as your friend. Of course. To everyone out in the chat, Sire Dark, DeSqueeze, R10NX, we've got old Daniel, Scary Terry Folds. We had a few other folks that are in the back. They haven't said anything in a while. Apathetic Enthusiasm, Steve the Heb, he was in there the stream.
That guy.
And everybody who listens to this show, and they say, you know what? We love Interdimensional RSS, but let's also listen to Apathetic Enthusiasm. We appreciate you coming over and listening to us here.
Yeah, as always, if you have a topic or something that you'd like us to discuss, if we've actually seen the movie or heard about the topic, I'm sure we will bring it up and talk about it on the stream. Just shoot us an email, shoot us a tweet, or you can go to YouTube or twitch.com/apatheticenthusiasm and follow us over there. And then you guys can ask us live. And if you love everything that we're doing and you want to support our shows monetarily, you can head over to patreon.com/rickandmortypod and be the real heroes. But yeah, thank you guys for following along. Thanks for hanging out. And I didn't even talk about this, but maybe we'll talk about it after your first D&D session.
Okay.
I have Wizards of the Coast D&D Essential Kit in my hands. I am going to run my first campaign with family members against their will. Well, my daughter really wants to try out the game. It's the reason I picked up the Essential Kit. My wife has zero interest in playing, but I think I'm going to force her to do it for my birthday. So I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about with that in an upcoming episode.
That's right.
We'll probably break down some D&D recaps next time on Apathetic Enthusiasm. So that's about it. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I am Brandon. And then thank you. Thank you for everything that you do for us.
Bye.
What's that other button do? What does this other sound button do?
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.